Pastor asked me a couple weeks ago if I thought I could do this evening, and I said, sure, we'll give it a try.
Amen.
So we're here tonight. Thank you. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles this evening, if you will, to John chapter 14. It's one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. It's a great chapter, some wonderful truths there. And I'm going to share with you tonight some practical things that I see in this one particular verse, and that's in verse 19 of John 14, the last part of the verse. Because I live, ye shall live also. Very simple, few words, but the meaning is far-reaching past our understanding. And it's been truly a blessing to me over the years, and I hope it has been to you too. And I hope tonight that some of the things we're able to share with you about this verse will be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and grace to us. I thank you for our church family here. And Lord, there are just so many needs that are here amongst us. And Lord, it's just a joy to know that we can pray for each other and share your word. And Lord, as we grow and as we continue the work here, I pray you'll continue to bless it as you have in these many years. We ask that you bless tonight. Be with me as we share these words, and I trust will be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Leading up to this particular words we find here in John 14, a little bit about what took place. Here we're at Passover, and we see them, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We see that the betrayal of Judas was revealed. And we see just before these words foretelling the denial of Peter. Now, some of the things that he was sharing with them about what was going to take place in the coming hours and days had to be disturbing to them. And as we know, later on, they really hadn't really gathered or comprehended all that Jesus was talking about. And it was, their bubble was burst. And so Jesus is trying to comfort them here in this chapter. And in this particular verse here, I remember when Sally and I were saved. We, a man named Ed Wilson, he's a big burly guy, oil field worker, always fighting, and he'd fight at the drop of a hat, and God saved him. And he's the most gentle man I've ever met in my life. God did a tremendous change in his life. And the day that Sally and I were at the church, and I've talked about that here before, how we get there, and I'll mention briefly at the end. Brother Ed was the one, when I went forward in the church service to receive Christ as my Savior, he's the one that took me aside and led me to the Lord. And his wife, Jane, as I remember, is the one that took Sally aside, too. So shortly after that, Brother Ed, he was busy doing something at the church every night. I mean, the regular church services on Sunday morning and evening, the Wednesday evening, and just about every night of the week, he was doing something, whether it be with youth and visitation and all of that. But he asked. He said, we'd like to see you get grounded in the Word and get started right. And we'd like to come over to your house on Tuesday evening, and that's the only night he had free, and have a Bible study with you and help you to, you know, get into God's Word. And we was excited about that. And so they did. And one of the first things Ed said, he said, we're going to start in the book of John. He said, there's no better book in the Bible to learn about God as a new Christian, to start there. And that's what we did. And this verse jumped out at me shortly into that study and of the book of John. And it's been very special from these years on. I look at it often. I think of it often. I know what Christ did for me. And it's special. Very special verse. Now, these precious words were spoken before the cross, as we know. Jesus knew the painful hours that were ahead of him. And yet, at this hour, he was trying to comfort his disciples. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. We also know that these words were spoken before the resurrection. And again, the Savior fully knew all that would happen. That he would be in the grave and that he would arise on the third day. And in the light of this coming occurrence, he said, because I live, ye shall live also. We also know that these words were spoken before the ascension. There was a day when Jesus came and he gave to his disciples the Great Commission. And the Bible tells us when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now Jesus knew what was going to take place, and he said to them, because I live, ye shall live also. You see, Christ was an expert on living. That can't be said of very many people. Experts run governments and are miserable at living. People are experts in making money, but miserable when it comes and poor in living. The Son of God was an expert on how to live. And I think it would be good for everybody if they would just take time each day to study the life of Christ. You'll find out how to live. You'll find out how to live with others. And you'll learn how to face the problems in life and the many circumstances of life that come before all of us. You know, we don't need all the psychology books to instruct us in the matter of living. We only need one book, and that's God's book, the Bible. You know, the book of God's Word, the Bible, we've said it time and time again, and you've heard it said, it's a book of principles, and we all recognize it as that. It's more than that. It's a book of rules. It's a book of principles. But what's so special about it is the very essence of God. You know, all we know about God we find written in the pages of this book. And all we need to know about living is found in the pages of this book. If we had followed God's Word as He gives it to us and we practice what we learn, we wouldn't have half the problems that we have. You know, Christ was not only an expert in living, but He was an expert in giving. He gave Himself to the will of the Father. He gave Himself to help others. He gives eternal life to all who will believe. In John 10:28, we read, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a great promise. So we had better study the example of Christ, not only in the matter of living, but also in the matter of giving. Paul said of him in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." He says again in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Christ was not only an expert in living and an expert in giving, but he is also an expert in dying. He talked about his death. He prepared his disciples. He knew when he would die, and he knew how he was going to die. In every he was a very expert in the way that he gives us lessons on dying. He tells us how to die to self. He tells us how to die physically. In John 14, the Savior is talking about a man coming to the time of his death. And listen to what he says. Very familiar portion of Scripture. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, I'm giving you these things tonight about the Savior so that you might spend more time in thinking about the matter of living and giving and dying. But I want to look at this verse one more time as we get into the message here tonight. It comes to us again from the beautiful chapter of John 14. "And Jesus said, Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Now, Brother Phil, you talked about this morning. In Christ, we live now. We live in the moment. And when you believe in Jesus as your Savior, that's when life truly begins. Eternal life is yours. And it begins now. I think there's far too many people who do not see nor do they understand what living for Christ means in the present moment. Too many people look upon salvation as a future possession. Life given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ that we might live for Him in this present moment. Now, abundant living is for us now. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So we as Christians, we ought to get a hold of what we have in Christ and all that He desires to do for us. He's our Savior now. "And by faith in the Son of God, you have everlasting life." We've been redeemed from the bondage of sin. We've been brought into the family of God. And by faith, eternal penalty of sin has been taken away. Now you're set free. Jesus said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So don't minimize the greatness of your salvation. I hope if you don't get anything else out of the message tonight that you'll remember that. Do not minimize the greatness of your salvation. Miraculous things happen to you. You've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You have life everlasting. So rejoice this evening that you're saved, that you are in Christ. Christ is your Savior, God is your Father, and heaven's your home. That's a lot to be grateful for. And don't minimize the greatness of your salvation. Now that you're saved and we're in the now, is what we're talking about, living, we can pray. You know, before we trust Christ as our Savior, we have no basis to come before God and come before the throne of grace. When we come to the Father, we can come to the Father when we pray. And the Bible says there, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He goes on to say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Those are great promises about prayer. Prayer is how we access God. there's so much we can say about prayer, and I think once in Cleves Clam we were teaching on prayer, and I had a list of four, and I think I gave everybody a copy of that, four pages of quotes about prayer gathered along the way through the years. And prayer is special. It's a privilege, and you should count it as that. The child of God can make known unto the Heavenly Father his needs, and he does so in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind what James said to say about this matter. You have not because you ask not. I think Pastor used that in his sermon this past weekend. there are many needs that we have in life. You cannot blame God for the needs that you have. They're yours and they're mine. Because he's promised to supply all of our needs. And along with this act of living now, you can witness. Jesus said to the disciples on the day of the ascension, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And John 20:19, I think it is, on the night of the resurrection, he said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And we are to be witnesses of the grace of God. You know, Brother Phil, you can attest to this, and I think Brother Doug, you can also. When you stand up here in the pulpit, whether you're preaching or teaching or whatever you might be doing, there's always someone out there. You know, when you come, maybe you're feeling a little down. You just need a boost. There's always somebody that you can look to that are out there in the congregation that you can look to and you immediately get a lift. Wouldn't you say that? It's, yes. And it's been that way for me many, many, many times. You know, Doug and Jill are here with us tonight, and it's great to see them. But you know, when I look at Jill, I see the love of God. I mean, every time I look at her, I see that. The grace of God just radiates from her. And you see people like that, and you know people like that. And it's thrilling to know that you can. I look at Mrs. Knisley and the grace that she has. I always get a boost. Always get a boost to you. Dottie, she always smiles. You know, a lot of folk, they look, they hear everything you're saying. At least I hope they do. But most people have an expression. It's kind of a straight-on expression. You know, you say something humorous and, you know, they laugh. You know they're listening. At times, but you know, I look at Dottie most of the time. She's listening intently, but she's got a, you know, a slight smile on her face. But there's folk like that who lift us up and encourage us, and the grace of God just shows forth from them, and we all should be like that. In the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore." And at the last part of that verse, he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. Now, we have the promise that he'll be with us. And that's a great promise. Amen. We need to say also that God will give you wisdom to those who you're faithful in witnessing to. He'll give you words to say, and He'll direct your conversation and give you the scripture that best suited to give to and dealing with that sinner you're talking to. I remember when I was in Bible college and I worked a full-time job and I took a full load of classes every semester. And of course, we had a family when Sally and I went there. We had two children. She was carrying our third child. We had a fourth child while we were there. So you're often torn. And you men know how that is. You're torn between the ministry. You're torn between the calling that you have, and you're torn between family. And it's a constant pulling and tearing in you. And it's not an easy thing being a pastor. It's a difficult thing. And you can make it difficult more so than it is. But I remember one summer, I think it was the last summer that we were there, I decided to sit out the summer. And it was the only time that I remember this was offered, but it was offered that summer, a class on soul winning. And you men don't know who I'm talking about. Clarence Sexton was the teacher. And I think it was at Crown College he's associated with now. But he was a great man. I truly enjoyed that summer with him. And we covered all aspects of witnessing and soul winning, and from street preaching right on through, you know, knocking on doors. And there was always a practical part of it. Not the class part was only some of it. The practical part was the good part. And so we went out knocking on doors. That was our assignment for this one day. And he'd pair us up into pairs, and he'd give us the assignment where to go to. And we'd go, and we'd do that. And so this one particular day, he paired me up with this man who was 60 years old. Now, I was going on 30, and he was 60, and we were the two oldest men in the class. And so he said, I want Jack, you and Bob to go down to 4th Street. Now, if you know where 4th Street is in Chattanooga, it is the red light district. It's right off, one street off the main drag of the red light district. And I looked at Bob, and he looked at me, and he said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to park your car at the little grocery store there, and you go to the first house, you go down to the end of the block, and then you come up the other side and go home. Okay. So we went, parked our little car there in that parking lot, and went up to the first door, and is walking up the sidewalk, and he said, Bob said to me, he said, Brother Jack, I need to tell you something. You know, I came to enrolled in this summer class because I've never witnessed anybody before. I said, you never witnessed anybody before? And he said, yes, I've never witnessed anybody before, but if you'll get the first house, I'll get the second. I was impressed. I was more than impressed. I was inspired. And so we went up to the first door. And the last thing that Clarence Sexton said to us when we went out the door was, every door you knock on, everybody in that house is saved. And he said, of course, you know they're not. But he said, I'm going to tell you one other thing. Try not to go inside. He said, if all you can do is talk to them right there on the front of the porch right there. He said, that's what you do. Try not to go inside. If the Lord so leads you to do that, you do it, but try to refrain from doing that. So we knocked on that first door. The guy came, and it just reeked of marijuana. And they were abusive and really gave us a hard time, and we graciously left and went down to the next house, and Bob walked up to the door, knocked on the door, and same thing. Reeked of marijuana, and the place was full of young males, and they weren't very nice either. And so, again, we graciously left, went to the next house. He went to the next house. I took the next house. And when we walked up to the door, a little old lady came to the door. And she was a grandmother, and her grandson lived with her. And when she saw us there, she knew what we were there for. And so she spoke very quietly, actually whispered and told us that, can we talk out here, you know? Well, yes. And she quietly closed the door. She looked inside. She closed the door. And she said, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for many, many years, and I love the Lord dearly. And she said, when the doors are open, I'm there. Sometimes I'm there when the door's not open, or nobody's there just to go in and pray. But my grandson is lost, and he doesn't treat me well. He's mean at times, but there's nothing I want more in this world is to see him come to Christ. And so she said, I'm glad you've come today. Would you mind trying to talk to him? He won't listen to me. So I said, sure. And about that time, he opened up the door. And he said, what's going on out here? And I said, well, why don't you come out and join us? So he came out, and I said, grandmother's been telling us a little about you. And do you know how much your grandmother loves you? And he kind of just melted. He said, yes, I do know how much she loves me. And I said, she's told me that she's a Christian and that she's talked to you a lot about the Lord. And he said, yes, she has. And I said, well, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, I'm sure that I wouldn't. I said, would you like to? He said, yeah, I think I would. And after a while, sitting there on that stoop, he trusted Christ as a Savior. Now, she had told me that he was deep into drugs, and I hope it was sincere. I have no reason to believe that it wasn't. But we left rejoicing. And Bob was so excited. He couldn't wait to knock on the next door. So to make a long story short, we went down to the end of the block. We came up the other side, and Bob got his chance. And one of the things he said to me when he said he didn't know, had never witnessed anybody, was that, if I get stuck, can you help me? I said, sure. And so when we got in there, a young lady came. And she was the only one in the house, and she started crying when she saw us. And so we sat down outside, and she was afraid that her boyfriend would come along and see her, but she did want to talk to us. And so we did. Bob led her to the Lord, and that was two. He was excited, so excited, that on his first time out that he won a young lady to the Lord. That was our experience that day. We went home rejoicing and so glad that as tough as that place was, it was a blessing to know that God will use you no matter where you're at.
Amen. And
I read a little story. Actually, I picked this up clear back when I was in school, one of my library study periods, working on a paper that I had there. And it was a little magazine there called Christian Victory, I think it was. And that story was about Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon lived on this street where an atheist lived, and he lived down the street from him. And so that particular morning, Charles Spurgeon got up and he said, he asked the Lord to give him a scripture to read for his devotions that morning. And so he was strongly impressed to get to read Joel in all of its entirety. So he started reading the book of Joel, and he came to chapter 3. And when he got to verse 3, it says this, "And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink." He reread that verse, and he reached over, he got his concordance, he opened it up, he wanted to see how many times the word girl was used in the Bible, and to his great surprise, it was found one time. Now, the significance of that story is, a little while later, he decided to take a walk. And about a block and a half or so from his house, he saw the atheist's house, so he walked up to the door and knocked on the door. And the atheist came to the door, and he recognized Charles Spurgeon, and he said to him, "Well, what are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I want to read the Bible to you." And the man said, "Well, he did the regular abuse that he does to anybody that knew the Bible or talked about the Bible." And so he said, "How many times is the word girl used in the Bible?" He didn't have to hesitate at all. He said, "Once." So he waited a second and he said, "Well, if you can tell me where it's found, I'll let you in." Charles said, "Joel chapter 3, verse 3. He said, "All right, before you come in, how do you know that?" And he said, "I didn't know it till 2 hours ago. And I read the book of Joel in all of its entirety, and that's where I saw it. And I've only known it for 2 hours." So Charles Spurgeon was invited in, he went in, and within a half hour, that man was on his knees asking for forgiveness, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. You know, God opens up doors. You know, we don't have to knock on doors to win folk to Christ. Just being who we are and showing forth, like we were talking about with Jill, Mr. Nisley, and others, that means a great deal. In impressing other people. Now, I should mention one more thing that we have in Christ now, and that is we have His presence. He's with us. He'll strengthen us, and He'll stand by us in the hour of danger or whatever we may face. He'll give peace in the time of trouble. And yes, in Christ, we can live now. My second point is, and I'll hurry along here, in Christ, we also live tomorrow. Now, you'll see where I'm going with this. I'm not talking about life after death. I'm talking about this life. I can say we can live tomorrow. I can live for Christ tonight, and I can also live for Him tomorrow. All the days to come, in fact, and live for Him. Live for Him tomorrow. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, one thing of encouragement that I can tell you is don't anticipate your problems. It's probably not as bad as you think it. You'll usually find it's quite simple. Just keep in mind that Christ who saved you will be with you in any hour of the day. today, whether it's tomorrow, or whether it's in the future. Another thing is, don't minimize your difficulties. You know, we have enough real problems in life without imagining others. Imagining things that may never happen. We've got enough to do today without entering to worries of next week or next year. But living for Christ today will take care of most of the problems tomorrow and thereafter. So because I live, ye shall live also. Now, we have a holy guarantee from God that these promises that he's given us, he's given us the word of God to go and share it with others, and that we ought to do. But these many promises that God gives us and the fact that we can live today because of Christ, every day should be the day that we live for Christ. But we have many, many promises, and we can lean on those promises, and we have a holy guarantee from God. And I love that song, John Newton, we sang it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We have a great God. A great God that we should glorify in all that we do and say. You know, Jesus lived in the will of God, and we ought to too. We ought to do likewise. Jesus was ever conscious of the task that God had given him. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. And we too must live with the will of God in mind and daily seek that will and daily submit ourselves to the will of God. And another thought that, you know, when I think of living is that Christ and how he lived victorious. And we can live victorious. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, we don't have to be defeated Christians. Not at all. When we are saved, we're saved eternally. We have a place with God forever. God is our Father. Christ is our Savior, and heaven is our home. Amen. And we have a lot to be thankful for. Christ means for every follower of his to be victorious. And you know what? There's no act in life can change that. The fact that we are his children and we don't have to be defeated in our Christian life. And again, I mentioned Christ lived to glorify God. We need to do the same. In life and in death, the Lord Jesus sought to glorify the Father, who sent him into this world. He said in John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. That ought to be our determination. In Christ, we live today. In Christ, we live eternally. He is the life. Eternal life through him. You know, facing death, Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. And that wasn't a calamity that he was facing. Death was a shadow that was leading to sunlight. Not only for him as he completed the Father's will, but for us. And the salvation that we have and that he made possible for us. So facing death, I need to remember my Savior. He's promised to be with me And I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you know what? He's going to be by my side. And facing death, I must remember the Word. The Word gives comfort. So many times I've walked in a hospital room wanting to be a blessing or a comfort or a help to that who I went to visit. And I couldn't tell you how many times I came away from there blessed. God is so good. You know, as I close this evening, there is a sense in which everything touches all eternity. You know, you may say a kind word and it'll influence a life, and the power of that life may touch others also for all eternity. A generous act may touch eternity. You know, Brother Phil mentioned this morning the lady that gave the two mites. You know, she had no idea in the world when she gave those two mites that she would be for all eternity, that account would be in the Word of God. She had no idea. So it did touch eternity. An act of bravery, however it might be, saving a person from some calamity he may be in. But in like manner, not only does the things we do, a kind word and things like that, touch eternity, but also in like manner, negative acts touch others. And you know what? They touch eternity. Paul said in Romans 14:7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Every person has an influence for good or evil. The way we act, the way we talk, the way we walk. And the Apostle Paul exhorts us to be careful in all of our lives. You know, my wife's cousin, I said I'd mention this as I close. He rode a bicycle everywhere he went. He rode his bicycle 12 miles one way to church, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, youth meeting, visitation, 12 miles one way, and I was impressed. We were looking for a church, and that one act, riding that bicycle one way to church, those many times each week, 12 miles one way, touched the throne of God and caused the angels to rejoice that day that Sally and I went to that church and I trusted Christ as my Savior. And the angels rejoiced. It closed forever the doorway to hell for my soul. Had heaven opened for me. John 6:47, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." I'm eternal grateful for someone who had a testimony of riding a bicycle to church 12 miles one way. It impressed me. And that led to my salvation. God is so good. He is so good. And we have so much to be thankful for. Because I live, ye shall live also. That's what I have for you tonight. I wasn't sure what this was going to be. Brother Phil gave it to me back there, and I said, I've never worn one of those before. I don't even know how to put it on. And that is the truth. I learned early on in my ministry as a pastor and also those many years in the state hospital in Weston to kind of have a, force myself to have a booming voice, because naturally I have a very low voice and sometimes it's hard for folk to hear. My whole family's like that. But I'm thankful for the opportunity God's given me over the years, and thank you for that opportunity tonight. God bless you. Brother Phil.
Why don't you stand on your feet with me? 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made.